All right, let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to begin reading in verse 29. I don't know what I put on the slide. I'm looking at this thing. I was like, that's not right. That's not where we're starting, but we'll start there anyway. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29. At least I put on the slide the right title, Overcoming the Enemy. Amen. And we're going to read down through verse 53. 1 Samuel 17, verse 29. It says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard with which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword about his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses unto the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh unto to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistines and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shechem, even unto Gath and to Ekalon and the Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. What a great story of a great battle that God gives victory over the enemy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we are victors in Christ. And Lord, we don't have to be intimidated or fearful to live the Christian life or stand up for God. We're thankful, Lord, that we're on the Lord's side. And because we're on the Lord's side, we're on the winning side. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless us tonight as we consider this great event in the life of David. And, Lord, may we be able to draw some very simple, practical truths to help us in knowing how to overcome the enemy. The devil is strong. The world is influential. Our flesh is weak. And so, God, we need your strength tonight. We need your power to be able to stand against the enemy. And so bless the word of God as it's preached tonight. God, we'd ask if someone's here is not saved, may they be convicted. May they respond to the invitation to come and receive Christ as their Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Oftentimes, many people's hearts fail when they have to face the trials and difficulties and the enemies that we have as being a Christian living in this world. But our hearts do not need to fail because we are on the winning side and God has already given the victory. So all we got to do is enter into that victory with the Lord. And this story about David and Goliath, many of us heard it, learned about it when we were just little children. I can remember being in Sunday school many, many years ago, even though the church did not teach us and tell us how to be saved. But I remember sitting in Sunday school and learning about David and Goliath. And it stirred my heart back then in the fact that God would use a young lad. Oftentimes we think that, well, wait a minute, you know, young people can't be victorious. We have to wait till we get older. And as we grow up and we become an adult, then they can do something for God. I believe teens are a mighty force that can be used for the glory of God. If you can get some teenagers to be on fire for God, that'll stand for God and not allow their peers to intimidate them and embarrass them to turn on their God, they can stand in the power of God as David did and defeat the enemy that stands against them. There are many, many lessons that we can learn in this encounter of David fighting against Goliath. And I just know this, that God wants us to be victorious. I do not believe in defeatism, and I don't believe in negativism. I believe that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I believe that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I believe we ought to live a victorious Christian life. Far too many Christians are being defeated. Far too many Christians are being drawn away from the Lord, and we need to take a stand and believe God. God is still all-powerful, and we can still have victory in our life. So overcoming the enemy. Now, notice a couple of things here about this. We're going to look at several verses. Notice that David had confidence in God's grace. Confidence in God's grace. And may I say, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to live for God, you're going to be able to defeat the enemy. You're going to have confidence that God's grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul said, our sufficiency is of Christ. God's grace was told to Paul that God's grace was sufficient for him. He didn't need the thorns in the flesh removed. He just needed the grace of God to work on his behalf. And so confidence in God's grace. You know, he picks up here five smooth stones, it says in verse 40. He took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook. The number five is significant because if you study numbers in the Bible, you'll find that the number five is the number of grace. So number five is the number of grace. He needed to depend upon and have confidence in God's grace. Here's a couple of reasons why we see this matter of the number five being the number of grace. First of all, it was on the fifth day of creation that living things were created. And so right off the bat, we see in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God starts to lay a foundation for us to understand how powerful God's grace is and how it's demonstrated even through the creation. It was on the fifth day when living things were created, and it's by grace that we have life. We're only saved by grace. We're not saved by our works. And we don't defeat the enemy in our own strength. We defeat the enemy in the grace of God. And so the fifth day, we see living things created. It's interesting that in Genesis chapter 15, dealing with God's covenant with Abraham, it was five animals that God commanded Abraham to slay, confirming his covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 in verse 6 through 9. In Genesis 15, it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not." And so here's God confirming a covenant with Abraham. And God says, I want to know for sure, how can I know that you're giving me this land to inherit it? And God said, this is what you do. Make this sacrifice, and here's a five animals that I want sacrificed to confirm my covenant with you. What is it? God's grace is working in the life of Abraham, and it's God's grace that's going to enable Abraham to inherit the land. And may I say, it's by God's grace that we can have victory, and it was by God's grace that David was able to stand against this mighty giant, Goliath. We also see the number five in the tabernacle. There's five pillars in the tabernacle at the eastern end of the holy place. You know, you only could get into the tabernacle at one spot, and that was on the eastern end of the tabernacle. There was only one doorway in, but that wall, that pillars that was along that eastern wall, there was five of them, demonstrating that in order to come into the presence of God, you have to come in through grace. It's an amazing thing to see that God's grace is the source or the means by which we can be saved and be able to come into the presence of God. You know, the Lord is identified by five names in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm thinking, getting the idea that number five means something, amen? And so his name, he is identified with five different names. You know, Jesus demonstrated grace in John chapter 6 when Jesus blessed five loaves of bread to feed 5,000 people. Now, it was by God's grace that a lad's lunch was stretched and blessed to the point where a multitude of people could be fed and delivered. Now, you know, there are five ministries through which the gospel goes out in the church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." You know, God has five categories, five ministries within the church through which the gospel is preached, the grace of God is presented, and people can be saved. And so here is David going up against this mighty giant Goliath. And as he goes up before him, he takes five smooth stones with him to fight against the giant. He didn't take four. He didn't take six. He only took five. And the amazing thing is, you say, well, wait a minute, if he took five, and five is the number of grace, why didn't he fire off five stones against him to demonstrate the grace of God to deliver him? Because it only took one, because one represents the power and the sovereignty of Almighty God. And when God enters into the equation, the enemy has to fall. Not only that, but I heard old preacher say years ago, he took five because Goliath had four other brothers and he was waiting for them to come on, but they all ran. Amen. God gives us victory through his grace, and we need to live our life in light of our confidence that God's grace is sufficient to give us the victory. And I'm thankful that this matter of the confidence in the stones that were taken, the stones comes from this confidence. We get it from the springs of living waters. In verse 40, it says he took the staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. And so he brought the stones up out of the brook. And I was sitting up here thinking when the music was going on and all that, I was sitting up here just thinking about the brook. They took the stones out of the brook. Why would they come out of the brook? And I thought of this. You know, if you have stones in a river or you have it in a brook, the running water smooths the stones. You know, it's through the trials and difficulties in life that God knocks the rough edges off of us and smooths out our life. And I thought about it, the water is running over those stones. The water is a means or source through which we can literally cleanse something and clean it up. So he brought these stones that were pure and were clean. He brought these stones that the rough edges were worn off because of the flowing water, and they're a smooth stone to be able to sling towards the giant and defeat him. Don't ever despise the working of God in your life to knock the rough edges off. Don't ever despise that God is cleaning you up, because there's some enemy he wants you to stand against, and there's some victory he wants to work in your life, and he's preparing you for the opportunity to take the enemy down. Amen. Confidence in God's grace. That wasn't in my notes, but I thought about it when I was sitting up here. John chapter 4, Jesus is at the Jacob's well, and in verse 10, as the Samaritan woman comes to him, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters." I'm always intrigued with that verse. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee. I think sometimes we forget who it is talking to us. I think sometimes we forget who it is that's leading us and directing us. I think many times we forget that the Lord is the one who cleans us and prepares us and strengthens us and fights for us. And the woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water?" You know, Jesus Christ is the living water. And he is the one who gives us the ability to be strengthened by his grace to defeat the enemy. In John chapter 7, in verse 38, Jesus is very clear as he says this, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And so here's these stones that David takes. They're very special stones because they're stones that have been prepared of God for David to use against that mighty giant. Now listen, God has something he's preparing you for, something he's doing in your life, a means by which you can overcome the enemy in your life, just as those stones. I don't think it's by chance David just walked over and picked up those five stones. I believe it was by the providential move of God. I believe that God directed his footsteps. God directed his hand as he went down in the water. And God made him touch the stones that God had prepared to be the weapon that would fight against the enemy. And I want you to know tonight that you can have confidence in God's grace, because it is God on heaven above that prepares everything in your life, and he providentially directs you. So we don't have to be afraid of the enemy that's standing in front of us, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? So it comes from the spirit of the living water, spring of living waters. Notice it's secured. These stones are secured in the shepherd's hand, because it tells us in verse 40 that he put it in the shepherd's bag, which he had. And so here he is. These stones were secured by the shepherd's hand. May I say this? Jesus said, I have given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And the fact that we are secure in the hand of our Almighty God, then listen, God's not going to allow anything to hurt us or to harm us, but God is going to be fighting for us, and we're secure in the shepherd's hand. Amen. Notice he was armed with a powerful weapon. He took those stones out of the bag, took one stone out, and the shepherd picked the stone up, and he put it in a sling, and he flung that sling, and he slew the mighty enemy before him. He had a powerful weapon. You know, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I'm going to tell you, Goliath was a big man. He was a tall man. He was a giant of a man. And the sword he had was a giant sword. But I'm going to tell you one thing. That sword of Goliath could not stand against what David had to say and what David had to use to fight against him. And I want you to know, man can mock God. He can reject the word of God. He can say you're foolish for living according to the word of God, but it is the word of God that's quick and powerful, and man's weapons can't defeat the word of God. To God be praise in the house of God tonight. Isaiah 54 and verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Woe be the person who tries to stand against the Christian. Woe be the person who tries to stand against the work of God. Woe be the person who thinks that they're more strong and more powerful and more manipulative of everything in our lives. Beware the person who stands against the church of Christ, because you're going down. Amen. Take care when you want to stand against another believer in Christ. When you stand against somebody who's trying to live for God, watch out, because you're about ready to lose. You're about ready to be destroyed. You're about ready to lose everything. You know, I've watched over the years people get arrogant about things. I watch people get mad about things. I've pastored three churches, and it doesn't matter where the church is located, doesn't matter what the size of the church is, there's always somebody that gets upset about something and wants to go against the church. People say, how do you know the church? How do you know the church is of God? I'll tell you how you know, because the church would be closed down if it was by any other business. When you think about all the arrogance and all the gossip and all the meanness and all the aggression that goes against the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So bring the battle on, because I'm standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. You say, how can you do that? I have confidence in the grace of God. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I be afraid? Amen. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be afraid of taking a stand. We don't have to be worried about being politically correct. We just need to believe God's grace is sufficient to save us and keep us, secure us, and give us victory. And David stood against Goliath in the power of the grace of God. And God used a lad, a teenage boy, to defeat a mighty giant in the army of the Philistines, when all the warriors and all the men of Israel were sitting on the sideline crying with fear, gripped with anxiety because of what was going on. But David said, is there not a cause? And David rose up to a position of saying, I'll fight against that giant. And I'll tell you one thing right now. It'd be great, you teenagers. I'll tell you, embarrass us adults. Embarrass us adults. Stand for God. Do something for God. Say, you might not stand for God, but I'll stand for God. Amen. And we'll see if we can get your driver license early so you can drive a van. Amen. I'm telling you right now, God has a mighty army that he wants to use us in a powerful way to defeat the enemy, but we're lacking faith to believe that God's grace is sufficient. I was sitting back there talking with Mike. During choir practice, I was being disobedient. I should have been in choir, and I was sitting back there talking. And we were talking about things, and you know, when you get old, that's you talk about being tired all the time, you know? Now, I'm not old, but Mike was talking about being tired, so. But, amen. Amen, partner, preacher. But the reality is, there's a lot of things I have on my heart I'd like to do. And my wife looks at me and she says, are you nuts? Are you crazy? You can't get everything done that you got to do now. You don't have enough energy to get done what you need to get done. I mean, I was this afternoon, I sat in my recliner in my family room and I fell sound asleep. I usually do that, but I always wake up an hour later. I was out for the count. Amen. I woke up, it was 10 minutes after 4. And I looked at the clock, I told my wife, is that clock right? She said, yeah, it's right. I said, what are you doing? Let me sleep. Get me up. I can't be laying here sleeping like this. I got stuff I got to do. I'm finding I can sleep longer and sleep deeper and enjoy my sleep better, amen, as time goes by. And wait a minute. I need to believe God to give me the strength that I need to do the things that he lays on my heart to accomplish. I'd tell you, I'd scare you to death. I told you everything I like for us to do as a church. Oh, you can't do that. We can't change our society. We can't get people fired up for God. Yes, we can, because God's grace is sufficient. Well, you can't get the Jimmy, you can't get those homeless people saved. Jimmy, you can't preach up there in a public building. You can't get up there and have the public building, people who's working for the government, have you come in and say, hey, turn the television off. These boys are here from Ocean County. They need to preach. Amen. Now, people say he can't do it, but he can he? God can do something miraculous if we start believing the grace of God. The giant's not too big. Our faith is too small. If we have great faith, God will put us into his grace and he'll give us the victory. David won because of confidence in the grace of God. I see point two. I like point one, but I got to go to point two. Notice he was conscious of God's power. Conscious of God's power in verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. And here it is, whom thou hast defied. I'm going to tell you, the world is on shaky grounds. When the world stands up and mocks God and defies God, because God is a jealous God and he's not going to take it. And I'm going to tell you, he gets into David's life and David gets into this giant and the giant goes down. Amen. Notice he's conscious of God's power because his name is above all names. You know, the Goliath had defied the name of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Our God's name is highly exalted and lifted up. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth. Now I'm going to tell you, we have all kinds of different people in high-ranking positions, and we respect them. We acknowledge their leadership. But I'm going to tell you, President Trump is not the answer to the problems Christians are dealing with. The political offices do not solve the problems of the Christian. His name is exalted above every name. You can read about all the leaders and dictators or whatever in history throughout the ages of history, and you say they were mighty men, they were powerful men, they controlled and people, and they destroyed people's lives. They built themselves mighty nations. Wait a minute, their names may be recorded in our history book, but their names are not above the name of Jesus Christ. And when you defy the name of God, boy, I'll tell you what, Jesus gets into it, and God gets upset about it, and he comes to fighting for you to give you victory. And so his name is above all names. His name is the power of God. His authority is over all. Not just his name is over all, but his authority over. You know, people don't like authority nowadays. It's always interesting to me in dealing with people about authority. And God is the one in charge. He is the one who's the boss. In Revelation chapter 4, in verse 10, says the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as is in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the land, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever. In Revelation chapter 11, in verse 5, Revelation 11 and verse 5, it says, And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner, must in this manner be killed. And certainly we're talking about the two witnesses during the tribulation period. Oh, the world despised them. The world will fight against them. But until God is ready for them to go to glory, anybody who lifts their hands against them, God will burn them up with fire that come from heaven above. Why? Because he is the one who is in authority over everything. And listen, his name is powerful. His name is resourceful. His name is elevated and lifted up. His name establishes authority. When you say Jesus Christ is Lord, that means he's the boss, that means he's the master, that means he's the one in charge. And David said this, you have come to me with sword and with shield, but you have defied the name of the living God. And so you defy the name of God, you're going to be defeated. Notice his justice defeats all. It says, whom thou hast defied. And God is always just and God is always powerful. And literally, David is living with a consciousness of God's power. And Christian, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm not talking about just doing something foolish and tempting God. I'm talking about living our Christian life, being bold in our Christian life, sincerely surrendering our life to the Lord. I just know this, whatever God desires for me to do, whatever direction he sends me to go, whatever enemy I got to stand in front of, I'm going to tell you one thing tonight, the enemy's going down. It's going down, that's it. I was talking to one of the refs at our basketball tournament this weekend, and he told me this. He said, Pastor Weigel, this is amazing. This tournament, this is an amazing thing. It's what God has done here. And he said, this building that's been put up and all this, that, and the other. He said, man, I'll tell you one thing. You must be awful excited about it. I said, well, I'm excited about it, but really it's here by God's grace. And he asked me this question. He said, how's the township treating you? Because you know how planning boards are. They're hard to deal with many times. And he was telling me some issues and things that some companies and people are having problems with the planning board here in Toms River. And I said, don't give me any problem. And I said, matter of fact, when we wanted to put this building up and we wanted to start at the Christian school, I said, the lawyer and the engineer went with me before the planning board, and the planning board asked me two questions. That was it. Two questions. I said, number one, they said, well, you're starting a school. Is that a grade school? I said, yeah, well, it's kindergarten, well, four-year-olds through 12th grade. And then the second question was, can you alter your start times and opening times and close times because you got a school right next to you? You wouldn't want to have a traffic jam problem with people coming in and out of your building when we have people going out. And I said, it's no problem. Our schedule is already different than what the public school schedule is. I said, no problem. They said, okay, approved. The lawyer And the engineer, I thought their teeth were going to fall out. And we turned around, we left that planning board meeting, we're walking out, and they both of them, one's walking on one side, we walked, the other walking, both of them looked at me and said, "Pastor, it doesn't work that way." I said, "Guy, I had this big plan that I was going to go and defend myself and all this, that, and the other, and man, I had it all figured out on why they're wrong to refuse to let me have a Christian school and build and all this, that, and the other. I mean, I had everything laid out, man. I mean, I had stuff to present to them that the lawyer and the engineer didn't know about. I came up with, President Clinton had passed this thing that they can't refuse you the opportunity to be able to build on your property for church ministries. They can't do that." And I told them about it, and they were like, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I said, "I'll print it out for you. I got it right here off the internet." I remember years ago, David Gibbs, I was at a legal meeting with him, and he said, "Let me tell you," he said, "President Bill Clinton, if he did anything at all at the time he was in the office, there's one thing he did that was good, and that was that bill he passed." And he said, "He can't stop you from building on your property, stop you from expanding your ministries in your church." And I had all this stuff together. I had my folders. I was ready. Amen. And all he did was ask me, day school? Yeah, it's day school. Can you alter your times? Well, our times are already different. Okay, approved. The lawyer and the engineer were coming out and said, "Preacher, it doesn't work that way. They literally told me, I don't understand what just happened." I said, "I'll tell you what happened. You just saw the power of God. Because God can bring it to pass. If God's in it, man can't stop it. Why? Because the name of Jesus is higher than any name. The name of Jesus is a name of authority. The name of Jesus Christ is a name that presents justice. God's always just in everything that he does." And David, listen, stood against this mighty warrior, this giant Goliath, not only in the confidence of God's grace, but he stood before him conscious of the reality of God's power that would work in his life. Now, wait a minute. That power that David had, you have it also. You said, "Well, that's Old Testament. God did that for David." Well, wait a minute. He'll do it too for you also. So he's conscious of God's power. Number three, there was a commitment to God's plan. Notice in verse 49, "And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and slaying it, and smote the Philistine in his head, forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." Notice a commitment to God's plan. God had laid out a plan on how David was going to stand against this mighty warrior, Goliath. And David did not sway from the plan. He was committed to God's plan. Realize this, by God's grace, we trust Christ as our Savior. You can't be saved in any other means. It's only by God's grace. It's by God's grace that we're able to have power to stand in this world. It's only God's grace. It has nothing to do with you, your abilities or talents or skills or whatever they are. I understand that God uses different people in the church because he gives us different talents and gifts, but I'm going to tell you, it's still about God's grace. It is not about your talents and skills. It's about the God who will use you within the body of Christ. So by God's grace, we trust Christ. It's with Christ we face the enemy. It says he slaying it. May I say this? David could talk all he wanted. David could prepare for the battle all he wanted. David could boast about how he had defeated a bear and how he had defeated a lion, and he could do all those things, but it was not until David stood before the giant, and it was not until David took his sling and he wound that baby up and he let her go that the enemy was defeated. Now I'm going to tell you, you can't defeat the enemy unless you go in battle against the enemy. You can't just sit back and be passive and say, "Oh, well," it's like in America right now, we have this mindset that nationally as a people that we're always going to have freedom. We don't have to fight any wars. We don't have to take a stand on anything. We can just sit back and let everybody be how they want to be and everything's going to be wonderful. The reality is you turn your back, you become passive, you refuse to stand against the enemy, and the enemy will defeat you. But as a Christian, we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. You need to fight against the influence of the world. You need to submit your body, your flesh, to the Spirit of God, because if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you don't proactively get involved in facing the enemies in your life, the enemy's going to overrun you. And so David still had to stand up there, and he still had to swing the sling, and he had to let that baby fly. And I'm going to tell you, God directed that thing right into the forehead of Goliath. Notice, through faith, he defeated the enemy. The stone sunk into his forehead. What a shot. Man, what a way to win the battle. And here's all these mighty warriors. Here's all the armies of the Philistines. And here's all the armies of Israel. And it comes down to a teenage boy standing before a mighty giant. You say, well, I don't know if I'm that good a shot. Well, let me tell you something. You put your hand, you put your life into the hand of God, and I'm going to tell you, let God take and direct your life. God will take you down a path that you don't expect. God will give you victory that you could not even perceive or understand. You just need to walk with God and depend on God's strength and His grace, and I'm going to tell you, through faith, you can have victory upon victory upon victory. I'm going to tell you, victory going through Bible college years ago, it was by faith, believing God could take down the enemy. I'm going to tell you, everywhere I turned, there was enemies. I went out to start a church. I didn't have anybody supporting me. I didn't have people coming alongside of me. I didn't have people supporting me when at the Bible college. Matter of fact, I had people saying, you know what, you can't be a pastor. They told my wife, you'll never be a pastor's wife with your personality. You need to change. And I told her, I said, don't you dare change. God made you who you are, and God's given you that spirit He's put in you, and you live according to the Spirit of God, and somebody don't like it, they can lump it, amen? Somebody don't like the reality of what God's doing in your life, then you got to get over it. I've had people over the years get mad about my preaching. Our first service we had up in Oakhurst, I had about 35 people came out to our first service. We went and followed up on, went in this one woman's house, and she told me, she said, well, I thought the service was wonderful until you got up to preach. She told me, she said, if the service ended when your wife got done singing, it would have been perfect. And she told me this, she said, see that kind of Jesus in the Bible where he's shouting and where he's thundering at other people. I don't see that type of Jesus. I said, well, did he go in and say, well, and to you scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. I told her flat out, I said, ma'am, I want you to know one thing. We'd love for you to be back in church, but I'm going to tell you one thing right now. When you come to our church, you're going to hear that same kind of preaching. I'm not changing for you or anybody else. God put a fire in my bones. God stirred my soul. I mean, God took this filthy alcoholic and changed his life. I'm going to tell you something. I have something to be excited about. And when the enemy comes, I say, Lord, it's me again. I need to swing this sling. I need the stone to fly. And I need the enemy to go down. Take control of this. You know what I found out? God takes care of things. All right. If I leave it alone and I just do what God tells me to do, God will take care of the enemy. And I'm telling you, there are multitudes of them out there. But you don't need to be fearful, because you can be like David and be committed to God's plan. You know, today in church work, everybody thinks you got to change everything in the church. You got to become like the culture. You need to become worldly. Churches have become nightclubs. That's what they've become. You know, you used to walk in churches years ago, and the churches were like this. They were bright. They were shiny. Why? Because we're the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. It's supposed to be bright and worshipful and excited about coming. You walk into churches now, and they're like a nightclub bar. They're pitch black inside with psychedelic lights and everything else. That's not the church of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. You say, oh, everybody's going that way. Let them go that way. I'm not going that way. Why? Because I'm going to stick to God's plan. Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I've had people over the years just tell me, oh, Pastor, I had a guy years ago. He told me, he said, man, preacher, the way you preach, if we got a rock and roll band in here, I mean, we'd pack this place out. I told him, I said, if I got to get a rock and roll band in the church to get people to come to church, then it ain't worthwhile having church, because now the church stops being the church. No, people need to come in the church because they're coming to meet with God, not because they're coming into a rock and roll concert. I believe worship is energized by music that we sing, but not the world's music. You say, well, you can't build a church like that. You can't pack people's lives. People won't come to church. Wait a minute. It may be impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. I'm believing God for, I believe the most blessed days for Ocean County Baptist Church is right now into the future. I'm not looking at what's going on in the past. I'm not rejoicing. I'll rejoice in what God did in the past, but I'm not living in the past. Bless God, I'm alive in 2018. And there's things that God's going to do in 2018 that people are going to have to sit there and say, man, God got into that thing. You know what we need to do? We need to let God get all over us. Get all over me, Lord. You say you're nuts. I know it. You called me to be your pastor. You must be nuts too. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if God gets all over this place, man can't do anything against it. If God gets all over your life, nobody can stand against you. Why? Because things are impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. David could have looked at this giant and said, this is impossible. How am I as a teenage boy? All the warriors of Israel are scared to death. They're intimidated by this guy. Oh my goodness, I need to go run and hide in the caves. No, David looked at it and said, whoa, my God is greater than this giant, and I'm going to stand in the strength of my God, believing that he can overcome this enemy. And God entered into the thing. God got all over David. And I'm going to tell you, God got all over Goliath, and he fell. Well, one more verse. I'm having too much fun tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's where I want to live. I want to live in the realm of, through faith, we subdue kingdoms. Through faith, we wrought righteousness. Through faith, we obtained the promises of God. Through faith, we stop the mouths of lions. And I'm going to tell you, when you enter into that realm of through faith, there is not an enemy that can stand against you. There is no possible way that you can lose the battle, because it is not you doing the fighting, it is your God fighting on your behalf, overcoming the enemy. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Get in there. I remember years ago, and I don't advocate this. My dad wasn't saved. I wasn't saved. I remember years ago, a boy hit me in the mouth. He punched me in the mouth. I came home, and I had a cut lip. My dad saw my cut lip. He said, boy, what happened? I said, well, so-and-so punched me in the mouth. He said, what'd you do to him? I said, nothing. He said, well, you go back to school tomorrow, and you punch him in the mouth. I told him, I said, Dad, if I do that, I'm liable to get suspended from school. He said, that's all right, I got work for you to do around here. If you didn't know, I grew up on a farm, amen. He said, I got work for you to do around here. You say, what'd you do? I went back to school the next day and punched him in the mouth. And I'm going to tell you something, he never punched me again. He never punched me again. And it's 2018 in America. Let me tell you, that is completely out of line to say that. Now, I ain't talking about abusing people and fighting against people and getting into foolish scuffles and things like that, but I'm going to tell you, somebody punched me in the mouth, they're going to get punched back. You say, that's not how Christians live. And I know with our boys in school, they get tussling against each other. And I have to tell them, now listen, you need to forgive one another. And I believe that with all my heart. But I feel like saying, let's go out back for a minute. And let's be real boys. You know, boys used to get mad at each other. And we go out the back. We go out and we duke it out and fight it out. We're all done. We're best of friends. That's what guys do. They're not girls. The girls say, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we were supposed to love each other. Oh, don't. I'm sorry I offended you. No, guys say, bam, man, you don't you say that to me again. Oh, man, we're best of friends. That's another old message. Don't take that advice, amen. But God, my dad taught me at a young age how to stand against the enemy. You don't go creating the problem. You don't become the aggressor. But I'm going to tell you right now, David wasn't the aggressor. He was defending his position in God. And he said, you come against me and you defy the name of my God, you're going down. And he got God involved in it, and God defeated the enemy. And I just know this, that we are conquerors in Christ. So let's start living like victors, amen? And God will help us. Well, I better shut up before I say something that's going to get me in trouble. I probably already have, but that's all right. I had fun. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I'm so thankful for the joy of the Lord. I'm thankful for very practical principles we can find in the Bible. There's so many things we can learn from David's life and certainly this conflict with Goliath. But may we come away from this message tonight with one thought, Lord, that God, you are stronger and bigger and greater than any enemy that comes against us. Help us to live by faith, filled with your grace, that we might be able to defeat the enemies in our life. We want to glorify the name of Christ, so strengthen us and give us victories upon victories. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.